ask you to stand with me this morning. We're going to begin our service in a word of prayer. And then after prayer, if you're able to, health-wise, physically, to stay standing, you can grab a hymnal. We'll have our first hymn before the choir. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity now to begin this service in prayer, Lord. Now, Lord, it's because of the cross, it's because of your great plan of salvation as revealed in the Bible that we're here today, Lord, that we have a local church. Lord, the church is your design, your institution. Lord, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, we know that this is a unique time period, Lord, in the history of the world based on Scripture, Lord, the church age. And Lord, you've put us here for a purpose and a reason, Lord. Those called out believers, those that are saints, sanctified, set apart through salvation through Christ for a particular purpose, Lord, to share and proclaim the gospel to every corner of the earth, to build a local church founded on Jesus Christ for the encouragement and worship of you, Lord, to train younger generation in the things of the Lord, to come together to glorify you, Lord, to be unified in doctrine and spirit, to pray, to worship. Oh God, I pray today. We've come excited on this Lord's Day to worship you. Lord, knowing that we are part of your great plan of redemption. Lord, knowing we have the wonderful privilege of sharing the gospel both in the service as well as in our children's church classes, Lord, as well as our missionaries, maybe even now in different parts of the world, having a church service, preaching the gospel. Oh, Father, it's our goal that all of Duryea and all of the surrounding towns and villages, Lord, and boroughs and townships around here, we have a gospel witness, Lord. All of us live in different areas and different places, Lord. I pray that we'd be vibrant witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we certainly pray for some who are away from us because of work or traveling, those that, Lord, are still battling sickness and maybe having to tune in by way of live stream. We're thankful for those that are here today, Lord, those that may be coming. Lord, I pray today that you'd minister to every heart. Lord, you know the need. You know those that are here today but are discouraged. Those that may be, Lord, weighted down by financial challenges, by a wayward child. Lord, you know if there's some marriages, Lord, on the brinks about to crack. Lord, you know that those folks that may be considering suicide, those that are plagued by their past. Lord, those that maybe are living today in fear, anger, bitterness. Lord, some that just don't know where to turn. Lord, I pray today you'd meet the great need of every heart through the Word of God, through the music to minister. Holy Spirit, draw each person to you, Lord, today, and I pray that they could see that you are the great I am. Lord, we do love you, and we do thank you. Now, may you be glorified, Lord, as we sing this first hymn. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay standing. Grab that hymnal as Charlie comes.
504, 504. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. 504. There's a song in my heart today. Jesus has taken my sins away. 504.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Sings Born Again.
Death was all around me. Day was fading fast. Sin had made its wages, and life was soon be past. Then I saw
take your hymn books again. Take your hymn books again. I hope you have that hope. I hope you've been born again. I hope you have a song in your heart that only the Lord Jesus can give you. 410, 410. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I hope you have that sweetness. Can you stand with me? 410, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just you take him at his word. Just you rise upon his promise. Just you know the Savior.
That second verse, a cappella without the pianist.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Just you trust his cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, I trust him.
Trusting the Lord today? Are you trusting him with your life to be happy? You know, the only sweetness, the only happiness you're going to have in this life, if you trust the Lord. If you read at the bottom there, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him or. You know, how has Jesus proved, how I proved him. All the time, think of all the times that he's forgiven you of your sins when you've walked away from him and you've come back. Think of all the times that the grace he's given to you, the things that he's given to you. Our hearts should well up in praise and happiness for the love that he's given to you, given to us. And there's a sweetness that comes when you just, in simple faith, simple trust him. And love him. Let's sing that last verse.
I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, save my friend. And I know that he is with me. He'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, I trust him.
Oh, my grace to trust in all. Thank you, ladies. If you didn't recognize that song, that was from our Christmas cantata, Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and say, Jesus is trustworthy. He will work in your life if you would just trust him, if you would just be patient and have faith in him. 369, living for Jesus. Can you just stand with me one more time as you go in there? 369, living for Jesus. A life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. Yielding
to find rest.
As they are going to find their way, we're going to invite you to pull out the Word of God. I hope you have a copy of the Scriptures. Should be one handy in front of you there if you do not. And you're going to find your way to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. That would be the sixth book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Again, there should be a Bible handy. We'd love for you to have a Bible. The mind will drift quickly if you're just listening and looking at me. Not a whole lot to look at anyways, all right? So Romans chapter 1, if you have a Pew Bible, page 1580. 1580 here this morning. Now, this can sometimes be a challenging service because if you pause right now, you may be smelling food, all right? And that'll be a little temptation there that could lead you astray. Is that roast beef I smell? Whatever you're gonna be coming up the stairs and your stomach may pull you astray. So we'll have to get a little discipline there, focus in on the Word of God. We have the meat of the Word of God first, all right? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and then we'll take care of our stomachs, all right? We'll have a great time of fellowship and food. Romans chapter 1 is where you are at this morning. I'm jumping around, finding some different things. All right, let's go ahead and we're going to read the first 16 verses of a somewhat familiar passage. And again, this is going to conclude, again, a short series, I guess you could call it a short series, on Till All Have Heard. Which was our vision, our theme for the year as a church, Till All Have Heard. I hope all have grabbed one of these, all right? All should have grabbed a few of these. We have many of these. You can grab two or three a person, each person in the family, kiddos as well. Put it on a mirror, remind you in the morning when you're getting ready for work or school to pray. Put it in the car just to keep that vision. And God, help me to be a gospel witness till all have heard. And so this sort of wraps up that series of the gospel. Dr. Griffith will be here next week and preaching all the services. And then we're going to shift as long as the Holy Spirit allows to getting ready for Resurrection Sunday, Easter, taking a look at Calvary and the life of Jesus Christ. I hope you're still praying, though. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, you could pray that every day of the year and never do a thing. So that could mean, well, the Lord never answered. I'm praying and he's not. So a whole year has gone by. Isn't it hard to believe it's February 25th. In just a few days, 1/6 of the year has already passed. 1/6 of the year. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You're going to blink and it's going to be June, a half of year. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I'm reminded in Acts 16, as Paul and Timothy and others were traveling, the Lord sent a vision to him, a man of Macedonia, and prayed. The man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And help us. And I'm not preaching on that this morning, but I can envision that. Someone at Crossing Tower. Someone come help us? Someone at the nursing home. Someone come share the gospel. Share the gospel. And I know, some might get upset. Preacher, that's what you're for. You're supposed to do all that.
I certainly want to be involved in those ministries, and I'll be happy to preach whenever often. But we have a church of well over 100. The gospel and the ministry is for everybody. Come help us. I wonder if the Lord is saying that to anyone's heart. You may be weak in your faith. You may lack courage. You may have never operated by faith in your whole life other than salvation. Everything is pre-planned, calculated, must make perfect sense. Everything has to equal. And you're not living the Christian life. You have no idea what God has until you, by faith, say, God, I believe you're tugging at my heart to do this. I'm going to say yes. And you got to put it in motion, all right? Come help us. Now, again, it could be that I'm off and that those ministries we don't need. And the Lord would just have us do what we've been doing. But I have a feeling God's been tugging at some hearts. And some have come to me and say, yes, I want to get involved in that. And we need to have a little meeting and say, all right, who's ready to go here? And sometimes it takes that point person. You want to help, but you don't want to be the point person. But God can work. And so I pray that you'll continue to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then act upon that as the Lord leads. Romans 1. We're going to read the first 16 verses. Not that lengthy, but sometimes longer than we normally read. And so I'll encourage you to follow along. And I want you to look for the four times the word gospel is used in these 16 verses. Maybe you can circle or underline, highlight. If you take notes in your Bible, that's not a bad thing. I want you to look for the four times. I don't want you to look ahead of time. I want you to follow along with me verse by verse. And then as you read it and you hear it, there it is. I'm going to underline, I'm going to mark it. Because we're going to be talking this morning about the importance of the gospel. That's the title, the importance of the gospel. Romans 1, verses 1 to 16. Let's set the stage. The Apostle Paul, the gentleman that we've been studying in adult Sunday school class, he who was Saul of Tarsus, the enemy of the church, who hated Jesus and believed he was a false Messiah, who persecuted believers, hailed them, wasted the church, drugged people in the prison, and by his own voice assigned people to death. That same man was gloriously saved on the road to Damascus, chosen of God to be an apostle, a preacher, a missionary, a light to the Gentiles. And here he's writing a letter to believers at Rome. Rome. Everybody knows when I say Rome. Of the known cities of this day, at the time Paul lived, the three most notorious, wicked, worldly, carnal, evil cities you can think of would have been Rome, Athens, and Corinth. Possibly Ephesus. There was plenty, all right? I mean, these were the center of idolatry, of fornication, immorality. Any known sin and vice today has nothing on Rome and Athens and Ephesus and Corinth. And now Paul, who has not yet been to Rome, but longs to go there, wants to be there. By the way, isn't that interesting? Wants to fellowship with believers at another town, another city. Longs for it, looks forward to it, makes plans to do that. But he's writing a letter to them, but he's not yet been there. And you're going to see his heart come out in these first 16 verses as he writes the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, a human, a flesh, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also, the believers there in Rome, are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 7, he spells out the exact audience of who he's writing to. To all that be in Rome, everybody, no, he's going to narrow it down. Beloved of God, called saints. You'll see 2B is in italicized. So those are just added for help, but literally called saints. So these aren't obviously dead people, right? This is a saint that, no, these are living, believing believers. Saint means you are sanctified ones, sanctified, set apart from God at salvation. You are saints. I'm writing to you, beloved. Grace to you, verse 7, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Wow, let's just pause there for a second. Paul has not yet been to Rome. Now, he will get to Rome. You know that later on trial. But at this point, he's not been to Rome. He says, let me tell you, you believers in Rome, no internet, no social media, no none of that stuff, no TV, no radio, nothing. Your faith for Christ has already spread throughout the whole world. And I've heard of it, and it has encouraged me, and I am so thankful for you. I thank God every day for you believers who I've never even met. Verse number 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Wow. Right there, it just knocks me down. I mean, we struggle just praying for our own church by name. There's people who don't even know the names of the people in the rows and been coming for a long time. Much less praying for them other than just saying, be with Mike Parent and be with Rita. Not that kind of stuff. Much less praying for believers in another town or another country every day. And Paul, not bragging, God is my witness. I pray for you every day. I praise God for you. Wow. Verse 10, making requests. Now, what is he praying for? If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. One of the things I pray for every day is that Lord would allow me to come and be with you. Oh, Lord, I want to go to Rome. Oh, Lord, I want to be with the believers. Now, that's a lot different than a lot of people today who don't want to associate with believers. We've talked about that. You go on vacation. No, don't even go to church. Well, that's so foreign to the believer. That is so foreign. I go somewhere and you're not going to find a good local church to fellowship with? What? That's not it. I mean, all through the Bible you see that. I can't wait to come visit you. I can't wait to fellowship with you. I can't wait to pray with you. I am praying that the Lord allow me to come over and see you. Verse 11, for I long to see you. He doesn't even know them. He has no relatives that we're aware of. I've heard of your faith. I'm so encouraged. You know why you come to Sunday night? Because you get to hear a missionary to Lebanon tell you about brothers and sisters in Christ in Lebanon. And you realize what they go through and how easy we have. And you say, oh, my heart is knit with the brothers and sisters in Christ in Lebanon. Oh, I would love to go there. And just to think if God would allow me or my family to take a trip, that can be our vacation. That'll be one that'll transform you. We're going to go over there and visit with the brethren. And they're going to say, well, we have someone from America is here. My word, they came all this way to be with us. What would you like to say anything? Whoa, how about some music? Can you help in any way? You play the piano. Whoa, that would be incredible. Stay. Wow, I mean, that's always the way in the scriptures. I long to see you, verse 11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. To the end you may be established. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I want to come encourage you. You're going to encourage me. We're going to fellowship and bond all through our faith through Jesus Christ. Verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Please don't misunderstand this or be ignorant, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you. I've wanted to come and I've even planned the trip, but I've not yet arrived. But was let hitherto, meaning I wasn't able to come, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, literally the heathens, both to the wise and to the unwise. And now we come to these final two verses, which for many is very well known. But let's look at what it says, 15 and 16. So, as much as is in me, let me get that right. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Boy, Paul is itching to get to Rome. I want to see you. I want believers in Rome of all places, the capital city of evil, in the very pit of the Roman Empire. God has raised up a church, a called out assembly of believers, saints, whose faith in Rome is known throughout the whole world. And I pray for you, and I want to come see you, and I want you to encourage me, and I want to encourage you. And I have put in my calendar many times Rome, but it hasn't happened yet. And I am ready to come, and I am ready to preach the gospel. to everybody at Rome. And then we come to that high water mark verse, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. To the Jew first. First it came to the Jews. And also to the Greek. Whoa! You know, if you don't really read your Bible, again, we've been studying this in Sunday school, you don't know Paul. You only know what some documentary said about him. What, can you see the heart of a man who loved God passionately, who loved people, who was always a people person, not a recluse, not a maverick, not a stay away from everybody, all right? A one that longed for people and fellowship and was known. You know, well, a lot of times we don't do that because we're aware of our own fallacies. We haven't been opened up by Christ and the liberty to be who we are among others and to worship and to talk and it's okay. And we stay closed and closeted and can't do that here. I want to be with you and I'm ready to preach. I am ready to preach the gospel. I can't wait to get there and preach the gospel. And by the way, the gospel is not always just, as we look at this morning, just salvation. He's talking to believers here. So what do they need? They already received the gospel. Well, there's more to the gospel than just that. So this morning we're looking at the importance of the gospel. Our theme, till all have heard. Again, heard what? Heard what? Help me out. Gospel. The gospel. Because you might say, what's that mean, till all have heard? I don't know what you're talking about. We're talking about till all have heard the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Our message this morning, the importance of the gospel. Now look, I'm just like you. Life is busy. It's hectic. 24 hours goes like this. Life is but a vapor. There's many important things. Many important things. Many good things. But as the old saying goes, it's not what's good, it's what's best. And the enemy of best is always good. You probably know that. The enemy is not always good and bad. It's between good and what's best. And 1/6 of the year is almost over. 2 full months. Each individual and as a church, how many people have shared the gospel? How many people have you shared the gospel with? How many preachers have I shared the gospel with? I mean, we can have themes and cards. We can sit in here and preach it and memorize verses. But if we're not going out and doing it, whoa, we're just not doing it. And 2 months turns into 3 and 6, and then it's a year, and then it's on another year. And you're like, oh my goodness. We've got to put action. The importance of the gospel. Let me give a couple definitions. We only have 3 main points this morning. A couple definitions, though. Our theme verse is Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. Again, we oftentimes hear a word and we have one association with it. And you think preach like preacher. That's what you're the preacher. You're the pastor. That's what you're doing. Thundering righteousness. You're the preacher. Preach it. You know, I don't hear that a lot. So you hear a lot more in the South. Preach it. Preach it, brother. All right? And go into all the world and preach. All right, the word preach in the context of Mark 16 in many places is not referring to the office of a pastor, which a lot of people hear that and think, well, okay, that's not me. That's for the pastor, the evangelist. No, the word preach here means to proclaim or herald a message. That's all it means. Going into all the world and you believers speak and proclaim a message. That's what the Lord said. I want all believers, you, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, a message. So it has nothing to do with a preacher or being, oh, I'm a lady, I can't preach, or I'm not a pastor. No, no, it had nothing to do with that. To preach is to proclaim or herald. Now, the word pastor is different. There's an office of a pastor in the Bible. There's a God-ordained office. There's God-ordained character qualities and characteristics that you have to meet. The word pastor means shepherd, overseer. Preaching is part of pastoring, but preaching the gospel is for all believers. So let's make sure we understand that. Till all have heard the gospel, go ye into all the world. And so you go to school, you go to work, you go to the dog park, you go to vacation, you go to the wherever, ice skating rink. Hey, go and proclaim. Not preach on a pulpit with a Bible like you're picturing sometimes. Open your mouth and proclaim like a messenger the message that you have. That's what preach or proclaim means, all right? Now, we come down to gospel, and that's the key, gospel. What is the word gospel? We've covered this before, but I want to review it. Gospel is the word evangelin or evangeline. where we get some girls. Evangeline just went on the ice skating. Evangeline, a lot of, it's a pretty girl's name. A lot of times you hear that name. That is the same word as gospel. An evangelist, Shane Kohlmeyer. Now that's a God-ordained, instituted office. An evangelist is the same word, evangeline or evangeline. That means, what does that mean? That means to proclaim a good message, good news, good tidings, to announce glad tidings. Glad tidings of great joy. Okay, go into all the world and proclaim, herald, just like a king says, you're the herald, you're herald. You're going to go to the village, you're going to blow the trumpet, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's going to come and gather, and you're going to say, I have a message from the king. Now that message could be good news, or it could be bad news. And hear ye, and that's the message. I want everybody to know, gather around, I'm proclaiming and heralding a message. Okay, so God said all believers, his children, that have been saved by grace, are to be a bearer of the gospel. The gospel is in a way, we're all an evangelist in a way, maybe not the office. We're to bear the good news, the good tidings. What's the good news? The gospel. You might say, well, Jesus saves, and we're going to break that down a little bit. That sin has been forgiven. The cross, wow, that is... Now, some of the gospel does have bad news, doesn't it? And that's what we're going to focus on. Well, there is some bad news because the reason Christ died on the cross, the reason I've got good news is because there's bad news. And the bad news is that you and I are sinners, but here's the good news. And so go ye into all the world and proclaim and preach the gospel, glad tidings of a good message to every person, to every creature. Wow, that is what God has told us to do, both as individual believers and for the church. Saved, called out believers who assembled together for God's purpose, all right? So we keep that in mind. Now, we could define the gospel. I don't want to get into that. We've done that before, 1 Corinthians 15. You say, well, what is the gospel? You might have it in a sentence. You might have it in your mind. You might write it out on a card. The gospel, by and large, if we put it in a nutshell, would be the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ lived a sinless, perfect life. He was born of a virgin, no sin. He lived. He took our place as a sacrificial lamb. He died on the cross for our sins. He shed his own blood for us. He died. He took the wrath of God and God's wrath upon him and paid for the sins of the entire world. And he died and he was buried. But then he rose again. The resurrection is a key part of this. The finished work on the cross. And he rose again and he ascended to the throne and he's coming again. And he said, I am the way. I mean, all of that is the gospel. That is the good news. And why do we need to share that? Because the bad news is everybody's a sinner and no one can get to heaven. We've all sinned against God. We've all rebelled. The penalty is already announced. We're already condemned. That's terrible news. And that there's life after death, and we're going to stand before God at the judgment. Whoa! And heaven and hell is eternal. Whoa, that's bad. So the good news is Jesus saves. You don't have to die lost in your sins. Okay, go into all the world and preach and proclaim that message with joy and passion to every single person. Never does it say you and I save anybody or responsible for saving anybody or can even save anybody. But the king has told his children to herald that message. How many, far and wide. How many know the kids' song, teen song, Salvation, S-A-L-V-I-T-O-N? Anybody know one? No, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-I-T-O-N. I'm just start singing. Some of you crack up and giggle. It's okay. All right. That's a great song. Shout it out. Far and wide. High and near. Wow. Salvation. Absolutely. That's what God wants us to do. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you rent a bullhorn and just drive throughout Duryea and Avoca and everywhere just saying, Jesus saved you. Hey, I did it. All heard. Everybody heard me until they ran me out of town. I did my job. All right. I mean, that certainly could be a creative way. I think the Lord has a little bit more desire than that. All right. This morning, we're looking at three simple areas that deal with the gospel. If you're taking notes, number one, we're going to look at the proclamation of the gospel. Number two, we're going to look at the presentation of the gospel. And number three, we're going to look at the power of the gospel. The proclamation, the presentation, and the power. You say, what do you mean by, number one, the proclamation? Going to all the world and proclaim. Preach. preach, proclaim, herald, the proclamation. I want you to understand exactly what it is that the Lord would have us do. So for that, we've got to go backwards a little bit to the book of Acts. So it's the very next book back behind you there on the left. You probably still see it. Go to Acts chapter 2. Now I'm going to go pretty fast here. I want us to look at a couple examples of the early preachers and apostles and what they preached. The proclamation of the gospel. Because today, there are many who in the name of Christ or the Bible or religion are not preaching the gospel. Maybe you've heard it say, hey, I went there. I'm Pastor Kramer likes that. I went to that church service and it was gospel light. It was very light on the gospel. It might have just simply said, hey, everybody, God loves you. God has a plan for you. You can go to heaven. Now, pray this prayer. How are you? Now, that's gospel light. That's not really the gospel. That'll dupe a lot of people and take them to hell. And so we've got to make sure we understand exactly what the gospel is so that we're proclaiming exactly what the Lord desires. Now, we understand there are different settings. We're not here. We're not God. We know that some folks can hear the gospel one time and absolutely believe it and be saved. But a lot of times that doesn't happen. Oh, it's easy to mislead people, get emotional, get a bunch of kids together. Let's pray this prayer. How many prayed? Woohoo! And people, and there's people that are very sincere. If you talk to missionaries in other countries, we'll talk about, maybe Dr. Raymond tonight will tell us that. Certain countries, Hindu countries, countries that have a lot of that, they have no problem adding Jesus to all their other gods. And they will be glad to pray. They will pray and do any prayer you want and say, yeah, absolutely. He can even be number one God. But that's not biblical salvation. They're not leaving their other gods necessarily. They're not repenting of sin. And so a lot of that is filtered into America where quick prayerism, easy believism. I had an experience. This happened. Of course I want to go to heaven. Who doesn't? I don't want to go to hell. All right? Absolutely. I believe in Jesus. And all these kind of things. But that is not necessarily the gospel. And so what's the gospel? It's not what I say. It's not what this church says. It's what the Bible says. And so you and I, if we're supposed to be bearing the gospel, which we are, and our goal as a church is to all I've heard, and it is, and we want to do that, we better make sure we all understand what the gospel is. So that what we're proclaiming is exactly what's proclaimed in the Bible. And so let's take a look. Acts chapter 2. I don't know if I told you the chapter. Acts chapter 2. We have really, this is the first recorded sermon from any of the disciples or apostles. Not once is any of their sermons recorded by the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Although they went out and did a lot of preaching, didn't they? Sent them out in twos. They sent a lot of different people out. They preached. They had power to heal. They had power to do a lot of things. But no sermon ever recorded. Not important enough. They were not filled with Spirit. I don't know. First time we get one the Holy Spirit gives us is Acts chapter 2. And who is it? It's Peter. It's in Jerusalem. It's Pentecost. Let's just get a quick look at what he's preaching, all right? Chapter 2, look at verse 21. Some people will be shocked that this is in Acts rather than just Romans, but this came first, all right? Acts 2:21. Here's part of his message. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow! Now that's in Romans 10:13, but here's first, all right? So what's he preaching? That's everybody, by the way. Whosoever is everybody. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you only took that verse, though, and you say, that's what I do. I just preach that. I go around sharing with them, hey, neighbors, kids, boys and girls, call the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. There's a lot of people that call the name of the Lord. What does that even mean? Well, we have to make sure we know what the gospel is. That's not it. That's part of it. Keep reading later in that chapter. Look at verse 32. Verse 32. He's preaching Jesus. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So you're going to see the resurrection, the cross, death, burial, and resurrection are central to the gospel. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's preaching salvation. He's preaching the cross. He's preaching Christ. They respond in verse 37. They're convicted. What do we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Uh-oh. As part of the gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, time doesn't have me allow. I spent a lot of time on this last year. I spent a lot of time on this in other Sunday night services, that baptism has nothing to do with salvation and why this is in here and what it means. I don't have time to explain that deeply today, but I want you to notice he preached repentance, trusting in Christ. Look at verse 40. We often jump over verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. So before everybody did a mass getting saved, He spent a lot of time with many other words, I believe, clearly explaining the gospel, what salvation is, and everything that a good preacher would do. So there was no question. It's not real quick. Boom, boom, boom. Wow, look, we have 5,000 saved. That's awesome. No, with many other words. And what's the result? Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, notice the order, were baptized. They trusted in Christ. They believed the gospel. They trusted Jesus Christ. They repented of their sins. They turned to the Lord. And then afterwards, they followed in believers' baptism. What was he preaching? He was preaching what we would say was the gospel. Go to chapter 4. We must hurry. Acts chapter 4. Who's the preacher? Same person. Peter. Acts 4, verses 8 through 10. What's he preaching? Acts 4, 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man who they just healed, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, we're not, again, if you just pull out one verse or one portion of the Bible and that's your doctrine for how you present the gospel, that's mishandling the scriptures. You've maybe heard people say this, and we'll get to this on the second point. Well, nowhere in the Gospel of John does they even say the word repent. There's no repent ever mentioned in John. You know, you must be born again. God so loved the world. Well, okay, but the repentance is named in many other books and many other messages. Jesus says it in Luke. And so we got to be careful. You don't just get one little doctrine out of one little thing. Scripture is Scripture, the whole of Scripture. All right, all of it there. I've heard someone say, well, the virgin birth is not mentioned in John. Does that mean it didn't happen? All right, well, it's mentioned in the other Gospels. You don't separate one from the other, all right? And so clearly from the Scriptures, we see what is the Gospel? The Gospel is the entire life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is finished. It's proclaiming salvation through Christ and Christ exclusively. There is no other way. There is no other name. There is no additional works or deeds that you can do. Whoa! It is all Jesus Christ. He did it all. And so the gospel is clearly proclaiming that. Look at chapter 5, verse 42. 5:42. All you do is flipping pages here real quick. Chapter 5 of Acts, verse 42. This is the apostles. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were preaching Jesus Christ. Death, burial, resurrection, salvation, answering the questions on Jesus, who he was, what he did. You see it clearly right there. Let's take a look at Philip. Say, that was Peter. What about Philip? Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 8. What about him? Let's see what these early preachers and apostles and evangelists were preaching. Let's see if we're still preaching that today. What about the mega churches? What about the most popular preachers? What's the gospel? Are they preaching the same thing? Has it been watered down? Has it been diminished? Have they changed it? Is it made easy believism? Is it universal brotherhood? Everyone's going to be saved. Just believe on the Lord. Call on him. God is a God of love. Well, let's see what the scriptures say as far as what the gospel is. How about Philip, one of the early evangelists? This is one of the early deacons. Verse 5 of Acts chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now you're going to see baptism mentioned in every one of these, not for salvation, but for part of the gospel, because the gospel starts with, and the bulk of it is the death, burial, resurrection of Christ for sins. But the gospel also includes the entire body of truth for the believer. It is not just salvation. That's the beginning point. That's the bulk of it. But you're going to see they're also preaching things concerning the kingdom and discipleship and sanctification. And that's why you're seeing people being baptized, because that's part of what they're preaching. They're not preaching that you need to be baptized to be saved or that baptism takes away sin, but it was part of the message of the body of truth that Christ commanded. It was integral. You're identifying with Christ, death, burial, resurrection, old man, new creature in Jesus Christ. And you'll see that repeatedly here as they preach Christ. Well, what else did he preach? Take a look at the verse 25. Verse 25, this is the apostles, Acts 8:25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Wow, Later in chapter 8, Philip one-on-one with the Ethiopian eunuch, a North African man. What did Philip preach to him about? Look at verse 35, Acts 8, 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. By the way, all gospel witness has to start right there. Till all have heard, have to start with you and I opening our mouths. We have to open our mouth and begin at the same scripture. And by the way, you have to have scripture. And preached unto him Jesus. That's a great verse for anybody who's timid with soul winning. That ought to be your life verse right there. Oh Lord, help me to open my mouth. Help me just to use the scriptures. And help me just to preach Christ. Proclaim Jesus Christ. And what did he proclaim? You think he just gave a quick little boom, 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 surge? You want to believe in Jesus? Say a little prayer right here? Well, he covered a lot more than that, because verse 36, what did the eunuch say? He said, whoa, stop. There's water. I want to get baptized. Now, where did baptism come from? Said he preached Jesus. He didn't preach baptism for salvation, but he covered a lot of stuff perhaps in an hour or two, and he explained it, and the man heard all that, and the man trusted Christ and got baptized, and Philip was careful. By the way, all soul winners need to be careful. Verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That means he would have questioned him, made sure, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't say, I believe that baptism washed away my sins. So you're seeing the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ for sins and salvation and what comes after that. And that man was baptized, and Philip passed on, still preaching. Okay, we got to keep going. Well, what about Paul? What did Paul preach when he got saved? Saul of Tarsus, chapter 9 of Acts. Acts 9, take a look at verse number 20. Acts 9, 20. And straightway he preached Christ. He preached Christ. Verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right? Our time is up. I have too many verses here for Paul. We could go on and on and on. Paul is preaching Christ. He's preaching the gospel. Look at all his missionary journeys. He preaches the gospel. He preaches Christ, Jesus Christ. What is the proclamation of the gospel? It's you and I simply opening our mouth. You don't have to yell. You don't have to preach like a preacher pastor. You just share the gospel with a neighbor on coffee break, at lunch, with a relative, on the phone. However you do, you share Jesus Christ. You share the gospel. Hey, I have a question. Are you a proclaimer of the gospel? Are you a proclaimer of the gospel? Are you a herald for Christ and for the gospel? Are you known for that? If you're not, I would challenge you. Will you be known as that? Will you make it and say, yes, Lord, I desire to be a proclaimer of the gospel. I desire to be one who just opens my mouth as the opportunity presents, or as I pray and look, to share Jesus Christ with others. I want to be a proclaimer of the gospel. Number two, the presentation of the gospel. This is probably all we're going to get to today, the presentation of the gospel. Go to Galatians chapter 1. So you're in Acts, you turn to your right, you go to Romans, then you're going to encounter 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you're going to come to the book of Galatians. All right, just a couple books to your right. Galatians chapter 1. I'll finish with this today. I don't think we're going to get to the power of the gospel. We'll save that, Lord willing, for another time. But this is, I want to focus on this these last few minutes. This is where we must be very, very careful. Now, there'll be some people who take this, and because I say we have to be so careful, they'll say, whoa, I could never do this then. I could never do this because I don't want to make any mistakes. And if I don't want to mislead anybody from the Lord. And so you never do anything. And you're paralyzed by fear, which is a dart of the devil. And he accomplished his goal for you not to proclaim the gospel. But I've run into many people like that. Whoa, I mean, I don't want to get up there and share Christ with somebody. What if I did it wrong? I mean, I could mislead them, and so I'm just not going to do anything. Without faith, it is impossible to please. You know what the Lord would have you say? I'm going to be a proclaimer of the gospel. I need to be trained. I'm going to become a student of the word. I do want to share the gospel. That does not get me out of that. And so I don't mislead anybody, I've got to get in the book. I've got to meet one-on-one with somebody that's more of a veteran soul winner that can give me some things. I need to go out and match up with somebody and get out there and do it. Not, I'm never going to do anything, and so I don't do a thing. Yes, we must be careful hanging the word of God. It is that important. But we also need to understand that God is sovereign and the gospel is what's powerful. And some of the greatest soul winners are people that cannot answer anyone's questions hardly and are not trained and don't have a Bible education and don't know all the Bible, but they have a heart for God. And all they can do is say the same verse again and again to the skeptic, and God breaks that person's heart because the power is in the gospel. And in a willing person, not in your smartness and craftiness, all the lessons you've taken, all the books you've read. Those can be good. You can also get cocky. You can be a great soul winner, can answer every question and have no heart for God. So we don't want to be paralyzed either way on, oh, I got to know every answer. No, that's called inactivity, and 10 years from now, you will not have done a thing. So when someone says, Lord, come help us, Lord, I'm going to, by faith, get busy and see what God can do. But we have to be careful when presenting the gospel. It is powerful. I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel. It is the power. It is dynamite. That's the Greek word, dunamis. Dynamite. Think of dynamite. If you don't know the history of dynamite, Alfred Nobel, Nobel Peace Prize, named after him, the inventor of dynamite, 1,000 times more powerful than gunpowder. Transformed America. Transformed the world. Yes, it can be used for bad. I understand that. But with it were bridges and land and structures and canals and roads built that changed this country. Just like the power of the gospel transforms homes and lives and places. It is powerful. It is dynamic is what God is saying. It can do anything. The hardest heart can be broken. The greatest skeptic atheist can be broken with the power of the gospel. If you and I, by faith, will bear it with love and prayer, there's not anybody that can resist the power of the gospel. We can see Saul of Tarsus. Each person obviously has that choice. Not everyone's going to receive it, but you and I must present it. But here's the key. Pastor Boyer, aren't there many gospels? No. There's only one gospel. There's only one. Anything else is counterfeit. There are lots of counterfeits, but there's only one. You say, well, where is that at? Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verses 6 through 8. Galatians 1, 6 through 8. This is Paul writing to another church, a group of churches. And there were false prophets and false teachers leading people astray with a false gospel. And so Paul, under inspiration, addresses this. Galatians 1, 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. What happened to you? You've shifted. You've completely left the gospel to another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another. And Paul's addressing this, and we've looked at this before. And by the way, he says, what you've moved over to is not another gospel. See, there's only one. And if there's only one gospel, then there is no other gospel. And so though somebody has come over here and printed and typed up something that says the gospel, it's not the gospel. It's not another gospel. That is fake. He's saying it's false. I can't believe you've moved over there. Verse 7. It's not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert, twist, distort the gospel of Christ. And here's very strong language, verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, you better be careful about that. I had an experience. I had a vision. I saw, what did you see? The devil can show visions too. His angels, he's got angels too that can transform themselves. Be very careful that you're not based on those kind of things. Here's what Paul is saying. If I come back and preach another gospel than what I did the first time, or someone who is an angel from heaven, or so they say, preaches another gospel, or, verse 8, anyone else preaches any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Whoa, verse 9. And as we have said before, or so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. You say, well, how can he say that one? How can he say that? Because verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. It's not my gospel. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul is saying. The gospel that I love, the gospel that I preach, the gospel that is powerful and I'm not ashamed of, it's not me. I didn't make it up. I received it, hand-delivered by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself. He called me to be an apostle and delivered it to me and entrusted it to me as an apostle, a sent commissioned one. And the scriptures that I've given are not of mine, they're of the Lord. They're inspired, they're not mine. And He gave them to me, to the church. And so if anybody comes at any other time preaching any other gospel, it's a false gospel. And let him be accursed. Whoa! Now that's the words of the Lord, God, not just Paul. That's how serious it is. So when you and I say, wow, we're saved, we've got the gospel, we do. But we had to make sure it's the right gospel. Because there are many false gospels, and if we listen to a lot of preachers, and there are a lot of believers that listen to a wide spectrum of people in the name of religion, and that can be a dangerous thing, because there's a lot of gospels being out there, and you may be not exactly listening on what they're preaching. So our time is up. We've got about 5 minutes here. What do you mean by the presentation of the gospel? Now, I want to be careful here, and we'll have to dwell on this in 2 weeks, Lord willing. That doesn't mean that every single time you share Christ with a neighbor, a coworker, even knocking on doors, you're going to have to do a 30-minute to an hour presentation of everything I'm about to say. Soul winning, evangelism, whatever you want to call it, witnessing, it is always different. Sometimes you may have 30 seconds. Sometimes you may have 15 minutes. Sometimes you may have hours. Sometimes you may have to go back 5, 10, 15 times. You may have to go back over years. There are many different ways God is able to say. Some people hear the gospel one time and it's true biblical salvation. Other. So don't misunderstand me that you've got to answer all of these every time you go out. And unless you know all these answers, you can't be a soul winner. Not true. But the gospel itself, there has to be these ingredients in it at some point. Or it's not a true gospel. What do you need to present when you present the gospel? Well, yes, Jesus Christ, salvation through Him only. But if all you do is just say, Jesus loves you, He died for you, would you like to be saved? I mean, yeah, sure. I don't know if I believe all. I mean, who wouldn't want to be? All right, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I don't mind. I'll add that to whatever else I have, perhaps, or I don't mind that. Hey, are you a sinner? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do some things wrong. What does that mean to their mind, though? Many people, when they say they're a sinner, they just mean, okay, I've done some bad things, but I'm a good person. I mean, I am a pretty good person. I mean, I'm not like a lot of people. So you have to be very careful when giving the gospel that we don't mislead people into just an easy, quick thing that they do and we're good to go. But that's not Bible salvation, all right? And so what are some things you have to proclaim when you give the gospel and present it? Well, certainly Jesus Christ. We see that. Preach Christ. It's Christ. It's all Jesus Christ. Savior. His Savior. His name means Savior. He died for our sins. It is finished. But you really have to give a definition. You have to deal with sin. You have to share sin. If you present the gospel and you never mention sin, it's not the gospel. It's not. What are they being saved from? Do they know what sin is? I love the Romans Road, and it's probably the greatest presentation, and many of us know the Romans Road, but if you read through Romans carefully, you will not see anything about the love of God, really, until chapter 5. It's 66 verses or 70 verses of God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's wrath, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The entire world is guilty. There is none righteous, no, not one. And then you come to chapter 5, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right? And biblically, we have got to make sure folks understand sin and what sin is and what it means to be lost and condemned and what we've done to God. And then the great love of God. And so the gospel is sharing Christ in the cross. And yes, God loves you, but sin, God's holiness and wrath, we often shy away from that, thinking that, well, people won't want to. The power is in the gospel. Not in you and I. Well, I know, but we don't have to take polls on what you need to hear and what you like. A lot of churches do that. We don't need to go out and figure out what everybody wants to hear. We don't have to water it down because no one's going to come and hear about wrath and hell and judgment. You know, I don't want that stuff. We've got to make it easy and love, but we've got to give the gospel the proper way. We've got to talk about what repentance is. Many people don't believe in repentance anymore. Just believe. Hey, wait a minute. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't just pluck one verse out, though. Luke 24, Christ said that you should go and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations. What about that one? All right. You must be born again. John never says one thing about repentance. Well, Peter did, Philip did, Paul did. And many other gospels say that, and that was Paul's modus operandi. He said, I preach repentance. So you can't just pluck a few things out and make it your gospel. It's got to be the Word of God through careful study of presenting God. It doesn't mean you have to have a seminary degree and have dictionaries. It's just a presentation of Christ that lets a person know that you are lost in your sins. You cannot get to heaven in any way. No amount of good deeds or religion is going to get you there. Christ took our place. You've got to talk about God's wrath and why He died and what He accomplished and what repentance and turning from sins, turning to God, and turning to Him and for salvation, and calling upon Him in full dependence and faith. You may have to define what it means to receive Christ, the gift. What you may have to define born again. Again, not all at the same time. Many times it's a continual thing as you develop a relationship. Other times, someone has done it before you. The seed's been planted. They're white unto harvest. Presentation of the gospel. I'll finish with this. Do you present the gospel? Have you presented the gospel this year in any way? Do you desire to present the gospel? We can't go back and make up January, February. We can't make up 2020. We can't make up decades. But we absolutely can say, you know what? I want that same passion. I would want to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm an 85-year-old retiree. It doesn't matter if I'm a 14-year-old teen. It doesn't matter if I've been saved for 1 month or saved for 50 years. It doesn't matter if I consider myself an eloquent speaker that likes people and can just talk and get along with anybody, or if I consider myself backward, uneducated, and stammering. That has nothing to do with it. In fact, God delights in taking the people who say they can't do anything. And that's their one excuse. I can't do anything. I take the weak. I take the unlovely. I take the rejects. I take those that can't do it. Who made your mouth? Can I not put my word in it? And he delights in that, because when it's all said and done, guess who gets the glory? He does. Because you go out there and say, I can't do any of this. I mean, I'm fear and trembling. I've never knocked on a door in my life. I want to run. I stammered. My tongue was dry. I couldn't even tell him anything, and it was a disaster. And the devil says, you failure, you're wretched. You'll never do any good. Sit at home. And the Lord says, thank you for being a willing vessel. The power's in me anyways. How about you do that again? How do you know they don't read the gospel tract? How do you not know? It's not in us. It's in obedience to God and His Word by studying and faithfully training and just saying, God, I just want to be used of you. Open my mouth that I can use you, Lord. Help me to be a willing vessel. I can proclaim the gospel. I can share Christ. It may be weak at first. It may be bad. I don't ever even want to get to a point where I'm so polished. I don't ever want to get to a point where I'm so polished that I just, well, they're so good, because then it's usually me. I'm vain. I get a little cocky. I get more into arguments. You'll find yourself getting into arguments and proud that you won debates rather than sharing Christ and having a heart for people and being broken that they rejected Christ, and you pray for them and you go back to them again and again. Go ye into all the world and preach and herald the good news, the good message unto every creature. That's the clear command of the Lord Jesus Christ for all believers until He comes again. The gospel will still be preached during the tribulation. There'll be an angel with an everlasting gospel. There'll be 144,000 Jewish male evangelists proclaiming the gospel. There will be two witnesses for 3.5 years proclaiming the gospel. The gospel is going to get out. Will you be part of it? Do you want to be part of it? May you and I be faithful witnesses of the gospel, and may we not be ashamed of it for Christ. Father, we love you and we thank you. Lord, our time is up. We're going to get a great opportunity now to fellowship in just a little bit as a church. And yet, Lord, there is nothing more important than the gospel. Lord, the Bible says it is the power, it is the dynamite. The gospel is what saves. No person can be saved outside of the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for sins. The perfect atonement, our substitute lamb. All of us are wretched, lost, and wicked, vile sinners before you. Lord, all of us, none of us are righteous in any way. We're proud, we're self-conceited, Lord. We're wicked and lost before you, condemned. All our righteousness are as filthy rags before your sight. And yet you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, the message of Christ when he began to preach was repent. The message of John the Baptist is repent. The message of Peter and Philip and Paul was to repent. The message of the Bible is to repent, to turn from our sins, a change of mind, which results in a change of action, to turning to you and believing. Lord, they're inseparable. They're all the same. We turn from our sins. We turn to you, Lord. We no longer want to live in our sins, but believe that Christ died. Lord, I pray that each person here today has received Christ as Savior. For, Lord, none of us know when our life here on earth may end. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You've paid excellent attention. I know the food is ready, but if I could beg your patience for just another minute or two, wouldn't be much of a preacher if we preach on the gospel and don't ask you personally if you have been born again. So without anyone looking, heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to ask you a simple question. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Has there been a time where you understood the gospel? The gospel. You can think back and remember when that was, when you were confronted with the gospel, that you were a sinner and you knew it and you admitted it. And when you realized for the first time that you could not get your way to heaven by praying, by tithing, by being baptized, by doing mass, by anything, you realized that can't get you there, and you saw that Jesus paved the way and finished it on the cross, and that by turning to Him from your sins, you recognized that He could save you, and you called upon Him in faith, Lord Jesus. You may not have said the same words, but Lord Jesus, see, save me. I admit and recognize I'm a sinner. I know I cannot save myself, but I see that You loved me and that You died for me and that You rose again and that You have the power to save me and forgive my sins. And you called upon Him in faith. That very moment, the Bible says, you were saved. You were born again once and for all. If you say, preacher, I remember that. Now, I may know the exact date. I mean, it's burned in my heart. I may have it in my Bible. I may not remember the date. I can't remember if I was 10 or 11 or 41 or 42. I can't remember if it was summer or fall, but I can tell you where it was and when it was, and I remember it like yesterday when Christ saved me. If that's you today without anyone looking, if you could just slip your hand up and hold it up for 5 seconds, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. There was a time I trusted Christ. No doubt about it. Praise the Lord. You can put those hands down. Maybe you're here today, though, and you say, you know what? I was honest, I could not raise my hand. I could not raise my hand because I'm not 100% sure. I struggle with that. Or you know what? I didn't raise my hand because I know it. I've never done that. I'm not ready yet, maybe you say, or I'm still thinking about it. I want to caution you, don't delay salvation. Now, don't just say a quick prayer because that doesn't save you. But don't put it off and say, well, I want this to happen first, or this needs to happen first, or I'm waiting on this person, or this. No, no, no. Today is the day of salvation. If you understand that you're a sinner and you see the awfulness of your sin and you realize that you cannot get to heaven by any good deeds, by attending this church all the time, by being kind to other people, by giving your money, and you realize that Jesus saved you, Jesus can save you because of what He did on the cross. Today's the day you call out to Him. Turn from your sins right now. Call upon Him to save you and deliver you from your wretched state, and the Bible says that He will do that. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I need to do that. I need to be saved. If that's you today, could you slip up your hand so I could just see? No one's looking but me. Preacher, Pastor Boer, I need to be born again today. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just letting you know that I'd like you to pray for me. Pray that I would come to know Christ. I'm not sure. Now, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but maybe you're a little nervous. If you'd like someone to talk with you, I'd encourage you as the piano begins to play. If you'd like to talk with someone to pray with you, open the Bible in a private room and show you how you can be saved, I want to encourage you right now, no one's looking, just to slip out of your seat and go to the back. We'll have a man or a lady back there waiting for you. They'll be thrilled. They'll be there with a smile, I promise you. They'll be back there and say, hey, I'll be glad. Come to this office. No one's going to know. Everybody's going to be eating lunch anyways. I'm going to show you from the Bible, answer your questions. If you'd like to be saved today, if you'd like to trust Christ as Savior, you'd like to talk to somebody. Maybe you say, you know what? I just need to pray with somebody. I'm so miserable right now. Seems like life is caving in. I just don't know what to do. I just don't know who to turn to. You can slip out right now. No one will think a thing. Go to the back. A lady with a lady, a gentleman with a gentleman. They'd be thrilled to pray with you. Open the Bible and show you how you can be saved. We'll let the Lord work just for a second. If that's you, just slip out. Don't delay. Don't put it off and say, let me think about it tonight. I'll think about it next Sunday. There may not be another Sunday. This could be your final chance. God's been working in your heart. Would you come to Him today for salvation? He is willing and ready to save you from your sins and deliver you and make you a brand new person. Final invitation. God's worked in your heart. You can slip. But this is for the believers. Most of you raised your hand. Hey, I want to ask you, are you a proclaimer of the gospel? Do you have a desire to be a proclaimer of the gospel? Do you really believe it's good news? Has it transformed your life so much that you can't keep it in? You say, oh, I've got to tell everybody. God has done so much for me. Oh, He saved my wretched soul. He's transformed my life. I've got to tell other people. Oh, God, I want to be a proclaimer. But maybe you're weak. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you fret. Maybe you think, I'm too old. I'm too young. I can't do it. I haven't been saved long enough. I don't know enough Bible memory. I don't do good speaking. I can't go to doors. I can't talk to people. I just can't do it, Lord. Would you be willing to say, Lord, You can? Lord, I can do it through you. Oh, God, open my mouth and help me. God, help me overcome that fear. I'm going to become I want to be a proclaimer of the gospel. Now, you may never knock on doors as some, but you might be a vibrant one-on-one witness. Others of you, God may be tugging at your heart to get involved at Crossing Tower, to be the person they say, come help me. You say, I can share the gospel in that kind of a setting. Folks just sitting around listening to me. I can go to a nursing home and talk to people. I can do that, Lord. Sure, Lord, I'm willing to do that. I'll be the point person, Lord. Oh, I don't know how God may work in your heart, but if God's tugging at your heart, would you respond today as the piano plays? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm willing. Oh, God, make me a soul winner. God, make me a proclaimer of the gospel. Make me a herald of the glad news so that people are drawn to Jesus Christ. Let me study the scriptures, be a student of the word so that I can be a proclaimer of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. I preach as you've laid on my heart. Lord, we know the gospel is what's powerful. It's the one that transforms people's lives. Lord, you have simply called each one of us as Christians to be bearers and heralders of the good news. Oh God, may we open our mouth, may we open the scriptures, and may we simply share with every person we can that Jesus saves. And may we preach and proclaim Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Now, Lord, I pray now as we get ready to go down and enjoy some lunch, some fellowship. Lord, bless the meal. Lord, bless our fellowship. May everything that's said and done honor you, Lord. May we look for others that maybe, Lord, are more private. Look for those that maybe don't know people as well. And may we be a blessing to them by conversing, by helping, by smiling and talking. And Lord, I pray that all that's done downstairs would honor you. Bless our time together, our traveling home. Bring us back safely tonight, Lord, for our dear missionary in Lebanon. May he be honored by our listening and our reaction to the word. May we be a blessing to him, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.